Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to this week's khutbah, and the topic is At-tawasul al-usri, successful family communication. Alhamdulillah, all praises are for Allah, the Lord of all the domains of existence, the one who has inclined us towards building families founded on mutual connection, love, peace, and affection. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of absolute love, adoration, and worship except Allah, the One, the utterly unique, having no partners in His oneness, the Master of all, the True, the One who clarifies and makes clear all things. And I bear witness that our Master, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the slave of Allah and His Messenger. O Allah, send Your prayers, blessings, and grace upon our Prophet Muhammad, and upon his family, the pure, and all his companions, and whomsoever follows them in the best of ways till the last day. Amma ba'd, to continue. I advise you, slaves of Allah and myself, with an awe-filled consciousness of Allah. For verily Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. O mankind, fear your Lord, who created you from one soul, and created from it its mate, and dispersed from both of them many men and women, and fear Allah, through whom you ask one another with regards to the wombs. Indeed, Allah is ever over you an observer. O you who believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in His book of one of the many blessings He has given us by saying, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن أَزْوَاجِكُمْ بَنِينَ وَحَفَدَهُ. Indeed, Allah has made for you from yourselves partners, and has made for you from your partners children and grandchildren. And Allah goes on to say, and has provided for you from many good things. The components that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this verse, the azwaj, the partners, be they husbands for wives and wives for husbands, or children such as baneen, wahafada, or grandchildren, these components make the fundamental components of a family, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in turn made the foundation of societies and the primary means by which societies themselves obtain cohesion and strength. And so the foundation for and key to a happy family life is the ability to demonstrate mutual understanding and mutual feelings amongst its members. In other words, there has to be a degree of successful communication whereby every single person of the family, starting with the primary relationship, which is the husband and wife, the azwaj, are able to embody mutual love and rahmah and mercy amongst themselves. And this is nothing but bringing to life, making real the Quranic ayah which says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And of His signs is that He has created for you from yourselves azwaj, partners. For what reason? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, that you may find tranquility, that you may find peace, that you may find the state of being settled with them. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And He is the one who makes between you, i.e. once this happens, once you get that sakina, then this mawadda, this love and this mercy spreads from them to the children, to wider society. And so it's absolutely imperative. It's a need, not just in terms of societal reasons, but purely from a religious perspective, that we make our marriages work, that we're able to bring about sakina, peace, and mutual love and understanding between ourselves. This is a religious imperative. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ himself, who was Qudwatul Hasana, the best of examples, has been described by Ibn Abbas, who was known by the, called by the Prophet ﷺ as the Mufassir of the Qur'an, the great interpreter of the Qur'an. He is reported to have said that the Prophet ﷺ, whenever he would enter his house after the Isha prayer, he would speak to his wife for a sa'atan. For 1 hour, or sa' could just mean a large period of time. But this idea of a husband being disconnected from his wife is against the prophetic example. For the Prophet ﷺ, the most busiest man ever created, he was given the task of sending revelation, or being the carrier of revelation, the last of revelation, unto the entirety of mankind. He was responsible for the ummah, of the greatest ummah of mankind. And yet, when he would come back from Isha, he would sit with his wife up to an hour. Now that is a huge, huge example. And similarly, we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these small things, which are not really small, they're huge, but simple things, like walking with his wife. We find these narrations. Safiya bint Huyay, may Allah be pleased with her, the mother of the believers, narrates that she once came to the Prophet ﷺ while he was in a state of i'tikaf, which is seclusion in the masjid during the last 10 days of Ramadan. And she spoke to him, and she was going to return after that time. And for whatever reason, the Prophet ﷺ also got up and walked with her. And this is just a simple narration, but these narrations are symptomatic or representative of just the way the Prophet ﷺ would be. He would walk with his wives frequently and regularly. He would spend time with his wives. He would race with his wives. He raced with Aisha radiallahu anha. Now, so many of us in our ideas of spirituality or religiosity will have this idea of aloofness, that somehow we're closed up and always in a retreat and not accessible and in another alam, another realm. But the Prophet ﷺ brought the best of spirituality. He was the greatest of spirituality because he brought that. He did have his private moments. He did have i'tikaf, like this hadith I've just quoted. He did have moments in the middle of the night where he would get up and it would just be in that intimate aloneness with his Lord. But with that, he had these moments of liveness. He had these moments of companionship. He had these moments of the depths of humanity where he would be laughing and enjoying and being present with those around him for their haqq. Because this is part of the greatest of being an exemplar of spirituality, that you are able to raise people with the needs that they have. And our wives and our children have needs upon us as men of this household. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam alluded to this responsibility. He said, "Kullukum ra'i." He said, "All of you are shepherds." وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْعُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهِ. He said, and all of you as shepherds or guardians are responsible for your flock, those under your guardianship. وَالرَّجُلُ رَاعٍ فِي أَهْلِهِ وَهُوَ مَسْعُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهِ. And a man is a shepherd of his family, of his wife, and he's responsible for his family, wife and children. وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَاعِيَةٌ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا وَمَسْؤُولَةٌ عَنْ رَاعِيَتِهَا. And a woman, she is also a shepherd, she is also a guardian in regards to the house of her husband, and she is also responsible for those under her care, the children. Because we all have a degree of responsibility. There isn't this kind of leadership model where one person takes it all and everyone else is subordinate. No. Rather, each and every one of us are taken to task and accountable for whatsoever we've been given and placed in charge of. And children are an amana. Children are a responsibility that have been given as a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet ﷺ alluded to these rights that these children have on us. One of them is to be given a good name, because لِكُلِّ إِسْمٍ, every name has a nasib, has a destiny. And so we name our children accordingly through the best of names, hoping that they will embody those sifat in their lives. And then from beyond those names is that we give them the best of character and the best of tarbiyah, the best of upbringing. And this is to what? To preserve them on the fitrah, on that beautiful pattern they were born on. All children, they're born on this pattern of tawheed. And so the parents are there to embody and preserve that. But if the parents themselves are not on this tawheed, if the parents themselves have not built a house which reflects this tawheed, then what will be the outcome? They will be responsible for the corruption of their children's fitrah. Right? Many of us in this world, we're going to have to be corrupted anyway and take the journey back to reform ourselves. But in as much as we are corrupting other people, we are responsible for them. Just as if we are rectifying and helping people, we have part of the reward of rectifying other people. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ was speaking about all of us as being shepherds, all of us as having responsibility, but also why the Quran itself gives the examples of how you should be as a parent, how you should be with your children. And the examples go back to the Anbiya, because the Anbiya are the Qudwa, they are the examples. And so we find, or from the Awliya, or from those who are people of given wisdom and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we find the beautiful example of Luqman al-Hakim, Luqman the wise. In the Quran, when he speaks to his son, he says, Ya Bunay, innaha in taku mithqala habbatin min khardalin fatakun fi sakhratin aw fi samawati aw fil ard yati bihi Allah inna Allaha latifun khabir. He says, oh my, and bunayya is a way of affection. Oh my dear son, oh my lovely son, oh my son who's close to me, right? This is how it's conveyed in Arabic, and that depth of that affection will be lost in English unless you understand what's really being said. And then he gives the nasiha to his son, the advice to his son. He said, if anything wrong is done, any sin, any wrongdoing is done, even if it be from what? The mithqal habbatin, the weight of a seed of what? Of mustard. And should it be within a rock, a fi sakhratin, even if it be hidden in a rock, anywhere in the fis samawati, well, anywhere in the heavens and the earth, yati bihillah. Allah brings it forth, because Allah knows what is in the hearts. Allah knows everything, because He's the owner of everything, and He is the controller of everything, and He is the observer of everything. So there's nothing that can be hidden for Him. Allah is Latif and He's Khabir. And so what is Luqman teaching? The greatest of lessons we can teach our children, the lesson of taqwa, the lesson of taking ourselves to account, the lesson of being observant that Allah is observing us, and the lessons of trying to instill in each and every one of our hearts this God consciousness. But how does it all start? It starts with gentle care, Ya Bunay. It starts with sincere love. And this is often something that's forgotten from parents, that in their disciplining of their children, if the disciplining is coming from our own ego, our own anger, the children will pick it up, because the lisanul hal ablaghu min lisanil maqal. The tongue of your state is more eloquent than the tongue of your words. If you're saying, don't do this, don't lie, and you are lying, the child knows you're a hypocrite. If you say, don't watch television, and you spend hours watching television, the child knows you're a hypocrite. If you say, don't do these bad habits, and you are doing those same things, the child knows. And the child's soul is darak, is able to perceive what is true and what is false. And so for us as parents, when we hope to change our children and align them to that which is right, first and foremost we have to change ourselves and speak from the position of guiding ourselves and speak from the position of sincerity to the children, so the children can respond and know that we are sincere. Ad-dinu nasiha. Religion is true advice. And true advice can only come when you want the best, and they need to feel you want the best from them. They need to feel that love. How many a child today is alienated from his parent because he feels, A, my father doesn't understand me, B, my father doesn't really like me, and then they don't have that qurb, that love, and so they can't feel they can speak to them about the most intimate things in their lives. And once that's broken, then that trust is gone. Whereas we see in the Quran, once again, we don't need to look very far, the trust that children are meant to have of their father. The Quran speaks about Sayyidina Yusuf, and it says, إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفْ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِي إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتَهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. He said, once again, Yusuf says to his father, Ya Abati. Now, these little subtle things are lost when you don't understand the beauty of the Arabic language. Just as Bunayya was intimate, Ya Abati is pure respect and intimacy from the son to the father. My dear father, my beloved father, my respected father. But then what does Yusuf say? He then tells him about a dream that he saw. And it was a very intimate dream. It was a dream of 11 stars and the sun prostrating to him. And Sayyidina Yusuf was also a prophet. So he could have also known what these dreams meant. That these dreams are indicative of jealousy amongst the brothers. But he's confident that he can speak to his father. And his father then gives him the advice. So what does this tell us? We need to instill this confidence in our children. And this confidence can only come through unconditional love. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ loved his children. He kissed his children. His daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, when she got married and she went on, when he would go to visit her, she would show love to him. She would stand up and kiss his hand and make him sit in the most esteemed places. But when she would come to visit him, look at that, he would stand up for her and kiss her, and make her sit in the most beloved places, and make her sit next to him, honoring his daughter. And he would love his daughter, and she was the most beloved of him, from his children, and she was the one who most resembled him in appearance. And this inheritance, this mirath that we say went through Fatima and went through the family of that beautiful family when she got married to Sayyidina Ali karamallahu wajhu, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ennoble his countenance. This was the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his children and his family. And so similarly, we have to bring about this love for our children. And now this amongst the children themselves. We can't have favoritism. We can't have this one's a favorite, this one's wrong. We have to love them from that same point of loving them from humanity, loving them for Allah, loving them because of their purity of who they are, loving them because of our responsibility. And once we love them, then they also understand to love each other from that love. And so the children start responding to themselves. If you have many children and siblings, you want the elders to love the youngers, and you want the youngers to respect the elders. You want to have this responsibility of what? Once again, we go back to the Quran, the examples of the Quran. When Sayyidina Musa was being entrusted to go to Fir'aun, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to him? سَنَشُدُّ عَدَدُكَ بِأَخِيكَ. We will strengthen you through your brother. In other words, the role of the brother, the role of the sibling is to strengthen the bond. Strengthen so what? So we can fulfill what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do. And so what are the ways that, let's be practical, how are some of the ways we can bring about this love and bring about that we don't make our homes graveyards? The Prophet ﷺ said, don't make your home like graveyards, and make your home a place of dhikr. Make your home a place of tilawatul Quran. And do this as a group. Do spiritual things as a group. How beautiful it would be if the family put a regular practice of getting together just to read the Quran together, to ponder upon the meanings of the Quran together, to have some spiritual practice that they do together, and then to not just read it like on rote, but to speak to each other. To say, this is what I understood. What did you understand? Maybe this scholar's opinion, let's ask him. And then the family shares. And the young can speak. The Prophet ﷺ's majalis, his gatherings, were inclusive gatherings. They were gatherings where the young could speak about what they had, and the Sahaba, the elderly Sahaba, would rejoice when the youngsters would speak and the elders would listen. And when the elders would listen, the youngsters would listen. When the elders would speak, the youngsters would listen, because each person had mutual respect upon each other. And so what is the intent? The intent is that we make our children pious. And this is from the dua, once again from the Anbiya. Sayyidina Ibrahim said, Rabbi ja'alni muqeem as-salah. Oh Allah, make me a muqeem. Muqeem doesn't mean just a prayer, but someone who has iqama, someone who makes firm the prayer, which comes everything with it, which is what? As-salat tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. So he's a person of firmness in prayer, so his life isn't from those of the fahsha. His life doesn't have fuhsh in it. His life doesn't have that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made inkar of as being wrong. So he said, make me from those who are firm of the prayer. And then he said, what? Wa min dhurriyati. And make what? Make me firm, and my children and my descendants. And that's what we all want. We want ourselves to be firm, and we want our children to be firm. And this is a trust. This is a trust Allah has given us. This is an amanah Allah has given us. Those of us who have children, those of us who are married, we have to try our best to make this work in our lives. We have to try our best to make it work, because this is how the ummah is raised. This is how a social fabric, if the family gets weak, the community gets destroyed. But if the family is strong, then it builds and it enables other families and other families and other families, and we are all ra'i, we are all shepherds. And if every family was to mend itself, then the ummah would be mended. The ummah would be strong. If every family was to build this, bring this nubuwa and the light of this nubuwa into their homes, then this ummah would be rectified. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to make this true. May we respond to this dua that was said, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. The dua of those who say, oh Allah, make from our partners and our children qurratu a'yun, comfort to the eyes. And the Prophet ﷺ said that he had comfort, qurratu a'yun fi salah. What does this comfort mean? This comfort of the eyes that transports to the heart, that brings rest, that brings, this is what we found a rest when we enter in our homes. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And from this position of rest, from this position of comfort, make us the leaders of the muttaqeen. And you can only be a leader of the muttaqeen when you have taqwa yourself. You're not a leader of anyone else, except you're the most embodying of this. And so from this position of rest, may we get embodied and grow in taqwa, and so we become leaders and leaders in this world, and reformers in this world, and changers in this world, and revivers of this world, and bringing back the banner of Islam. Who will bring back the banner of Islam? Who will bring back the one of the calls in the Quran, which Sayyidina Isa said, is who will be the Ansar of Allah? Who will be the helpers of this religion? And each of us take on this call. Who will be the helpers of this religion? And we do it by getting things right in our lives, with our families, with ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to fortify and make true communication and connection and interaction with members of our family. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow upon us from His vast bounty and generous kindness to make us real human beings, those devoted to Him. And we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us obedient and enable us to be of service to the way of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being in obedience and service of those He's ordered us to be in obedience to. I say this and I ask Allah for forgiveness for me and for you, so invoke Him for forgiveness, for He is the most forgiving and the most merciful. And with that comes to an end this week's khutbah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This khutbah was brought to you by Idha'atul Quran, Abu Dhabi.